Hi everyone, this is Chantel Neufeld. This is my friend
Tamara Friends.
Yes, and we are talking today about going beyond disempowerment.
And this topic came up because we just finished our last podcast about practices of empowerment. And afterwards, reflecting on this idea that as a culture, we really are a disempowered people. Because an empowered culture wouldn't be creating the kind of environmental devastation that we see around us. An empowered culture wouldn't be doing the kind of thing that we see in Australia where, according to Australian police, those wildfires, many of them were set deliberately. So an arsonist is not an empowered person. You don't need to go out and wreak that kind of destruction when you as a person feel empowered and able to have an effect on the world in your own being. My mom used to say when we were growing up as kids, whenever somebody did something that hurt or offended us, she'd say, well, that person is not at peace with themselves.
Wow.
And I have a saying up on the wall in my bedroom, and I think this is Goethe, the German poet, and it says, as soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live. And so I think we're looking for empowerment, but the very fact that we have people like Trump being elected is a testament that millions of people feel such a level of disempowerment that they're looking for Big Daddy or, you know, the big strong leader, the superhero, to come and channel their power for them. So I had just recently read this book, Write It Down, Make It Happen, which got me excited because now in a new year and in a new decade, as people are thinking about what do I want to bring into my life, where do I want to go, this book was all about the power of writing your goals and different ways of using writing to empower yourself, to start making things happen, to move you towards what it is that you want to do. And because we both love reading books and talking about books, this is one that we're thinking about reading and discussing together.
I love journaling. Like, you can go from being so lost in your mind and just being, you know, not knowing which way to turn. You sit down with a pen and paper, write in your journal, and just cathartically just get it all out and figure out. It slows down your thinking process, and it helps guide you and figure out actually what it is you want instead of what it is you don't want. Gone so far as to write with my left hand my question and then write the answer with my right hand.
That's interesting.
There's so many different parts of us. Like, we think of ourselves as being just this body, right? But there's so many different energies at play, different parts, like our inner child and, you know, our higher self, like our wisdom. And we do have these conversations in our own minds, like, whether we're talking to ourselves out loud as we walk down the street, which I think is a very healthy thing to do, talk to yourself. But we talk to ourselves in our own mind, and we argue with ourselves. Yeah. So what is that?
Better to talk to yourself than to unload on somebody else,
right? Yeah, but we have these conversations within.
Yeah.
And it's like our inner child a lot of the time.
I went through a time in my life earlier in my teaching career when I struggled with a lot of anxiety and depression. And the counselor that I saw at the time recommended writing out with different colors of pen, using those different voices, those different parts of yourself, which I did a bit of. And I think that the journaling is really helpful in a way because it makes visible our thinking. You may think that you're conscious of your thoughts, but when you put them down on paper and you actually read them and see them, and start seeing the pattern, seeing how much, for example, you beat yourself up over something, or how much this recurring thought keeps coming up again and again, in a way, it's being more mindful about your thinking. And Edgar Cayce, the great American clairvoyant and psychic, said, thoughts are things, right? And we talk about everything being energy. So when you have a thought that grabs hold of you and becomes a recurring pattern.
Or that you attach to.
And it grooves in and grooves in, and this is what shapes your life and shapes your experience of life. And so
just making the subconscious conscious through journaling can, you know, you could be like, oh, I don't want that part. I don't want that belief. That's not something I want to be attached to anymore.
And the journaling, in a way, allows you to release it onto the page and say, it's out there now. I've dealt with it. I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes maybe more discipline than I often have.
Yeah, well, neither of us are perfect. Like, the whole reason why we're doing this podcast is because we have struggled with these things, and we're human, and all of these different tidbits and practices, they're not to overwhelm. My intention is to make life as simple as possible, and I do feel that journaling is almost the deepest practice that you could do.
There are 1,001 ways to journal. I think often we think of journaling as just writing about your day or whatever, writing about your thoughts. I've kept a dream journal at different points in my life, and it's been fascinating to go back and see how some dreams I didn't realize at the time were precognitive dreams, and then later on events unfolded that really reflected what I dreamed about and wouldn't have realized unless I went back and read my dream journal.
That's incredible.
And that simple practice that I talked about in the last podcast of starting each day with, what do I want to let go? What do I want to be grateful for? What do I want to focus on? You know, just simple ways
like
of journaling.
Past, present, future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a new journal for the new year from my favorite person, Deborah Searle, the one who rowed across the Atlantic, took her 111 days by herself. In a rowboat. So this journal, you can choose from like 4 different kinds of journaling. That you could do the cathartic, like working through an issue. But you could also do like your future self. Like you could talk about, like, use all of your like senses of what it's going to feel like and actually be there. Like, I am so excited now that this and this has happened. You know, like put yourself in the future a year. Or you can just in point form write down affirmations about yourself, like, you know, I am strong, I am kind, I am important, you know, like any of those kind of things. I'm trying to remember now, I don't have it here in front of me, but there was, you know, there's other options too. You don't always have to write about the same thing, and she also has at the bottom like one thing to focus on today, and then one tiny like step that you can do to move in that direction, like to gain momentum. Also has a gratefulness portion. You're supposed to write 3 things you're grateful for and then write a note of gratefulness to someone.
I like the flexibility of that because I'm the kind of person who can never carry out a program, which has been, you know, as an educator, when you try to run a behavior program for a class or for students, or you know, the Weight Watchers thing where you count calories or you know, I can never stick with anything like that. As soon as I feel locked in to anything, there's the rebel in me that says, this is so confining. This feels really restrictive.
It's like
this
an
is,
archetype.
Yeah. It's funny. So that idea of, and I've learned to make my journal really flexible where sometimes I might write about a dream. That little morning practice goes in there. If I do the feeding your demons work or I'm dealing with some really deep inner process, that goes in there. Goals. So it has kind of become a catch-all for just, I don't know, it's maybe my process book of life.
Yeah, exactly. I love that we do have that rebel in us. I love that we're not the type of personality to be locked down into something, like in our everyday lives too, not just in journaling.
Well, I think, you know, that's kind of what brought us together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we both were sort of, not necessarily black sheep, but that metaphor.
Oh, yeah. I would go with that label.
in a conservative religious culture that We were the questioners. We were the pioneers and the trailblazers who wanted to explore things, who wanted to consider ideas that weren't necessarily kosher within what we were.
And it's like, why is this, like, with society or with the religion, mm-hmm. or like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, like, how does this idea make any sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For example, with dancing, how that wasn't mm-hmm. allowed, or even in my culture, music with a beat wasn't allowed. Yoga mm-hmm. wasn't allowed, you know? It's just like,
yeah.
if we never question things, then how will we...
Mm-hmm.
How will we grow?
Yeah, I had a little visual image come to mind this morning as I was exercising. You know how people have these invisible fences for their dogs, right? And the dog wears a collar. And if they near the fence or get to the boundary of the fence, some kind of a signal triggers a shock or something from the collar. And so they are within these boundaries that you can't see. They're invisible. And I thought, what a metaphor that is for us, because we box ourselves in, you know, and the rebel in us refuses to be boxed in. And it's, you have to face that constant feeling of not fitting in, of not belonging, and looking for your tribe and not necessarily finding them. But fitting in at the same time is so contrary to who you are, and I guess we constantly risk the shock again and again and again because we just can't stay inside the fence.
Yeah, or inside the box, because there's so much more life out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I do think it's a basic human need to want to belong, but I think the deeper need is acceptance. And I actually think that even though we look for acceptance outside of ourselves and in community and in friends, what we're really looking for is the acceptance of ourselves from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we could get all those parts working in alignment and integrated, that we accept who we are.
Like, and that goes back to Goethe again. As soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like such a profound statement.
But it's everything. It really is. Because once you can accept yourself, you can accept other people. Mm-hmm. Once you have compassion on yourself, mm-hmm. on your inner child, you could also have compassion on people who treat you badly because you're seeing through it. You know, like your mom said, they weren't at peace within mm-hmm. themselves. Or... knowing what I know about people who are angry, you know, that it's often fear and sadness, that anger is covering up fear and sadness. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's afraid, anyone who is scared, like, wouldn't you have compassion on them if you knew that that's what was really
mm-hmm.
going on?
Well, and that, you know, on a certain level, to even have compassion for the big, brash bullies of the world, because they're not at peace with themselves either. And in a sense, they don't trust themselves because self-trust doesn't come with a megaphone and chest beating.
Mm-hmm.
It's that calm knowing inside. So even sometimes some of these, I want to say sort of new agey in quotation marks practices, and not that they're wrong, like the affirmations and that sort of thing. But if your ego hasn't accepted it, or if your ego hasn't kind of stepped aside to say, oh, you know, there's something beyond me, then it's almost like you're trying to convince yourself mm-hmm. instead of just having that really serene inner knowing. I know completely who I am, and everything that I do comes out of that really peaceful, tranquil sense of my being, which I haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're all
different
working
days, different
and
energies.
Even different situations.
Mm-hmm. And when you're with different people, I find mm-hmm. like when I'm with you, my best self comes out, which I, you know, I'm so happy to be your friend.
That's how you know who your tribe is,
right? When your best self
yeah.
comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember having an experience earlier as a younger adult when my children were small and I was still attending church, and this is not about knocking church, because I really do believe in community, and in a way, many people find their tribe at church. But in this case, I was part of a worship committee and had all these ideas around how we could include children and youth and really build a sense of community and belonging. But it really would have meant kind of challenging the status quo of how things were done. And when I would bring up ideas at a meeting, the answer invariably would be, well, let's put that on the agenda for next time. And then the next meeting would come and it wouldn't be on the agenda. So I'd wait until the end of the meeting, and things kept getting tabled and tabled. And often I'd bring forth an idea and there would just be this wall of silence, which would completely make me go into self-doubt. And I eventually realized, I don't know who I am when I'm in this setting. That self-trust was completely eroded. And I would waffle from, I'm going to go in there and bring forward this idea because I really think this would, you know, be a wonderful thing for our youth and children. I'd waffle from that to, I'm just going to go and keep my mouth shut because obviously I make people uncomfortable and I don't want to offend and I don't want to rock the boat. And it would be this crazy schizophrenic waffling back and forth. And at a certain point, I just looked at myself and said, I don't know who I am in this setting. And it was very disempowering. Mm-hmm. And well, so I needed to pull back.
I had a similar situation when I left my church, too. They were practicing shunning and saying it was biblical and that, you know, people who didn't agree with the pastor should not be talked to. And that did not measure up with my values. My values were kindness and respect, and that's not kind or respectful to do to someone. I mean, it's a lot deeper than that, but basically this thing I find similar is that we just didn't feel at home there anymore because our values were not being respected. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a fit anymore.
Right. And I think when you try hard to fit into a situation or an institution, that just does not, honor who you are, that sense of self-trust erodes and erodes and erodes over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we all have this need to belong and to feel accepted. And with this podcast, that is one of my biggest intentions, is to tell other people who are like us that you're not alone in thinking the things that you're thinking, mm-hmm. feeling what you're feeling. And there is community. You know.
Right. So if you haven't found your tribe, we'll be your tribe.
Yes.
And we'll keep talking about things that excite and empower us and ignite us with a sense of passion and purpose.
Yeah. And something I would like to start this year, too, is an online women's group that meets either every week or every month, but where we can get together online, video chat, and talk about the good and the bad, you know, because we all go through struggles, and it's nice to be able to have that safe place where we could just say, you know, this is what I've been going, these are my circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then having the other people to be able to support you. Like, that's what I like about the new community I found in Lifetree, which we meet Sunday morning, but it's not really a church, it's more of a conversational cafe where we're in groups of four and we could talk about deep things and share deep things, and it's in a energy of acceptance and yeah, I just love it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we've we're almost to the 20-minute mark, so we'll let you go. And yeah, keep following your heart song. Till next time.